Crime Stoppers. That's right, 1-800-220-8477. All calls kept confidential and a monetary reward, $5,000 in certain cases issued for information that will lead to an arrest in that particular case. Joe Jacklin, of course, retired Sergeant NYPD, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators. Highly decorated member back in the day of the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. Let's not forget, best-selling author of the Cold Case Handbook and host of the hit YouTube TV show currently running as far as the Gilgo investigation. The aforementioned Joe Jacklin, we say a very good morning to the Sarge. And Sarge, a lot of people were wondering how you're feeling after last week's revelation and everything else. Give me a sense. Back to 100%, hopefully?
Good morning, Jay. Actually, not. I'm still fighting this cough, congestion, but I feel fine, you know? So I'm good. I mean, the doctor's cleared me and all, so I've been running around. I'm actually out in the Hamptons today doing the Hamptons.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
For the big weekend.
Yeah, it started last night. It was a lot of fun. I think there was over 200 and something people at the cocktail hour last night, so it was great. I hung out with Barbara Butcher last night, who's got the Netflix show out going on, and a bunch of other people, so it was cool.
And Joe, I would have to think that the hot topic had to be the death of O.J. Simpson announced yesterday in the afternoon. I mean, that had to be a big-time conversation going in and around.
Yeah, unfortunately, not really. You know, so
no.
Everybody just kind of mentioned it. It was like, it was really a non-event. I think that if things had gone differently for OJ, I think it would have been a much different reaction. But most people just kind of brushed it off. I got a couple of text messages, and that was really about it. And nobody was really interested in discussing.
Wow. That's surprising. It really is. I mean, you know, listen, there were a lot of recollection. I know I got texted a bunch regarding OJ and everything else. It just brought me back to the days of 94, you know, watching that Knicks Rockets final game, NBA at the Garden. And all of a sudden you had the split screen, the picture on the screen with Al Cowens driving that Bronco with OJ in that backseat with a gun to his head. And it just brought back everything, man. I'll tell you, it was mesmerizing. It really was. It brought me back to the old days. Hard to believe we're looking at, nearly 30 years ago, too. 30 years ago it was.
Yeah.
In June, it'll be 30 years, so incredible. But you know what? Beat goes on. Life goes on. You wish maybe you would have had some finality of penance of some kind from OJ before he passed. But, you know, you talk about the ineptitude of a police department and everything else. Mark Furman, it's just unbelievable to recount a lot of this stuff. So, life goes on and everything else. So, a happening as far as the death of OJ. Joe, let's get into a couple of things. One of which is a firearms law. With all that was going on yesterday, there was not a lot of press on this. From a federal standpoint, and the fact of checks now, background checks, firearm dealers, and everything else coming into play. President, the vice president, pretty much lauding this. But, you know, hopefully they're going to get universal background checks. That's what they're hoping for. And, of course, you got a lot of pushback here. What do you think of this?
Well, every time I hear something like this, Jay, I always just say, you can still not be held on bail for the possession of an illegal firearm in New York State, right? Oh. So anytime, any of these geriatric that you're doing and you're getting, everything's just sounds political, and you just look at the law, you look at the consequences. I mean, the fact that you can't be held on a gun is crazy. So what are we doing here, right? I mean, so we make it harder for you to get, and then if you get one and it's not legal and you get caught with it, we'll just send you home anyway. I mean, I've been saying this all along. Our legal gun owners aren't the problem. The people who are running around with these guns are not waiting online and filling out forms to get guns. And I don't know how many times you have to tell it to our politicians. Now, yes, maybe we can secure guns better because a lot of guns get stolen. Maybe that could be a focus on something. But geez, this doesn't seem to be that important as far as I'm concerned right now with the way bail reform is set up.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a mess. It's a joke. I cited something I saw yesterday. I told the audience there was a piece in the Washington Post regarding Governor Kathy Hochul on how she has handled crime, kind of giving herself a little pat on the back. My goodness, I don't know what for, but she is. You know, I mean, as far as being, you know, that's that in the middle type of piece between Democrats and Republicans. I mean, come on. I mean, listen, the fact of the matter is she's not even running. In my opinion, Joe, she's not even running the state of New York. It's really the assembly leader and the majority leader of the Senate. And those are the folks who run New York. I mean, let's face it. She bows down to them, negotiation, everything else. Tilts their way as far as what they want. I mean, listen, when Carl Hasty says that deterrence is not based on incarceration, that basically tells you all you need to know here. But Kathy Hochul is not a leader, doesn't move the needle, the proverbial needle, as far as criminal activity is concerned and safety for New Yorkers. It's a bunch of nonsense. And the piece really shed a lot of light on that, Joe.
Well, I mean, you take everything that you get from the Washington Post with a grain of salt, too. I mean, the issue that comes down to is why isn't a New York paper covering this, right? Why is another newspaper covering it?
Yeah.
The issue, and I agree with you, Carl Hasty is the one that runs the show up there. But when things go bad, and things are going bad in certain aspects, or if they get worse, will he take the blame for it? And he probably won't.
Never does.
They'll be throwing people under the bus for everything else. They've been gaslighting us all along. And then you see the article in the Post last Sunday about Hasty's district that is an absolute mess with crime going on.
Yeah, so, in the Bronx, yeah.
It's unfortunate that voters aren't more attuned to what's really going on and the people that they don't vote for, because most people aren't voting, and that's the problem.
Yeah, no question. AOC, the same thing in her district, 14th Congressional, Jackson Heights area, Joe, where they gave you a highlight, you know, a couple of weeks ago on the news channel of basically, you know, showing what it is. Drug dealers, homelessness. I mean, it's just a mess. Absolute criminal activity. People are scared. This is AOC's district, by the way. AOC, who, by the way, is running for re-election. So, it just gives you a sense. And, you know, voters have to be smart here. I don't care if they wear the party line or not. They have to be smart. They have to kind of separate it now. I think we're going to see some change. I hope to see some change. You never know, Joe, but this could be the year. We'll see. I mean, if it doesn't happen this year, it'll never happen. Really, that's the way it is.
All it will take is one of them to fail in the election and not get reelected. It's some of these celebrated senators and Congress people who, you know, have been riding this anti-police, pro-criminal kind of platform. You know, all it's going to take is one or two of those to lose it, and then everybody else is going to start coming closer to center. And I think that's what you really want. You don't have to throw everybody out. But a couple of them don't get reelected. I'm telling you, you'll see a change in the way the criminal justice system starting the very next day.
No question. And all you have to do is get folks like Carl Hasty the hell out of office, and things change in a heartbeat in Albany. I mean, it really does. It really. I mean, that's why policy. I always say policies matter. Policies matter. This way, you get him out. You'll deal with Stuart Cousins. If that happens, great. We'll see. You got to get one of them out. You can't have both come there. It's a two-headed monster that's killing New York. One-party rule is just killing New York right now. And let's face it, they're in charge. They're in charge of Albany. They run Albany, not Kathy Hochul. They run Albany, Hasty and Cousins, Stuart Cousins. So one of them has to go. Joe Jacklow and the crime report. Let's get into a couple of storylines here. Joe, you had a Florida guy, right, who led police in Southall. It was an hour-long chase on the North Fork. He was driving 100 miles an hour, drove off a cliff into the Long Island Sound, and pled guilty yesterday. Felony criminal mischief and other charges. This Roger Foster, charged accordingly here. That was quite a scene right out of a movie, Sarge.
I was hearing about that while I was down here in the South Fork. Yeah. I'm just like, what is going on here? Yeah, I mean, talk about something from a movie. Originally, I'm sure people thought that's what it was, right? Somebody's, you know, because movies are getting filmed all the time out here in South Fork. But, yeah, geez, what a crazy, crazy story.
A nutty story indeed. A guy from Florida and charged accordingly. It could have been a lot worse with injuries and everything else, but nonetheless, he was taken into custody. Joe, how about this? A Bayshore man and a Central Islip woman indicted yesterday. Why? Sex trafficking. Two females who they exploited using drugs, heroin, and crack to control them as far as behavior is concerned. So they got this 43-year-old Danny St. Louis. Faces charges, by the way, for the repeated rape of a 13-year-old. I mean, my goodness. This is what you're dealing with right now, folks, as far as a lot of, you know, human trafficking and everything else, Joe. It's going on quite some time.
Yeah, and this is only the tip of the iceberg. And not too long ago, a few weeks ago, they had named Long Island as one of the top human trafficking targets. So, yeah, this is, I think we're going to see more of these kinds of cases going forward, Jay, which is good because of the fact that they're getting these people off the street. But we also need to figure out how to get the help that these individuals who are being trafficked, they're going to need a lot of help to get through this. So it's making arrests and stuff like that is great, but they need to have something in place for counselors and the like to try to get these people the help that they're going to desperately need.
No question. The Sarge with us, the crime report. Joe, I say we have the two best DAs in the country, Ann Donnelly in Nassau, Ray Tierney in Suffolk, and of course, you have a guy out of Holtsville allegedly linked to a fatal overdose of a resident in Nassau. Well, he was arrested on Wednesday. Multiple drug charges he faces. Nicholas Mayfield charged now with the possession of a controlled substance and everything else. But all in all, they are getting a lot of these individuals now who sell this stuff, fentanyl lace some of it, and thus one overdoses and dies. Guess what? If you're linked to it, you're going to do a lot of time, and that's what's happening to this guy.
Yes, Long Island, both Nassau and Suffolk, has done themselves a good favor, and it goes to show you when you pick the right people and put them in the right places, things get done. And we know that fentanyl problems, even though no one really talks about it anymore, fentanyl problems is a huge problem here on Long Island and, of course, everywhere else. And arrests like this are great. They do act as deterrents, so to speak. However, we need to do more on the interdiction part about how this stuff is getting onto Long Island, and it's got to come through New York City. And this is something that needs to be addressed, and it needed to be addressed years ago. And this is just the fentanyl that's being shipped in from China and elsewhere. It's just they're killing us from the inside, and that's really what's happening.
Yeah, without question, without question. But, you know, like I said, we got two great district attorneys who are going to go to the nth degree as far as the law. And you know what? If you're linked as far as all this stuff is concerned, you cause a death, you're going to get hit bad. And that's what's going on here. A lot of cases like that. Joe, how about this suspect in the body parts case? He was due in court, I believe, yesterday. It's Jeffrey Mackey. He was one of three charged in the body parts case. Went before the judge, dismembered bodies of two. Found scattered across Suffolk. That was back in the last couple of months. But all in all, you know, meat cleavers, knives, and blood were found in Mackey's Amityville home. It's amazing, Joe. I was thinking of the antiquated laws in New York regarding dismemberment of a corpse, which you cannot keep a person locked up with because of the antiquated nature of what we are all, you know, going through here in New York. You know, I tell you, the laws are just crazy. Even the confidentiality laws, I'm sure you heard about with CPS and whatnot, unfounded, says, you know, the grand jury report and everything else because of antiquated laws. I mean, some laws just need to be changed. Get with the program. This is New York. My goodness. It is hard to believe, but even in this particular case of dismemberment, Sergeant.
Well, you know, absolutely. And this case is still bizarre in so many aspects. They have all these different things, and they still can't levy a murder charge which is quite unusual, and we haven't seen it yet. And I'm kind of getting a little concerned about that aspect of it. There's something missing that you and I are unaware of, that I'm sure investigators are working on. And it's just, I think we probably need to be more patient and see exactly how this plans out. But as these court appearances keep on going on and there's no new information that really has come out, it is worrisome.
Without question. We'll see what happens here. Things have to change, though. And it starts, you know, it starts with the state legislature. They just have to change with these times. This is what we've been talking about all along. The Sarge with us, Joe Jacklin, who's up in the Hamptons as we speak, getting ready for a fun week. It's always a fun weekend. Joe, tell us about it, and how could folks get involved here?
Yeah, the Hamptons Who Done It kicked off last night. Today is the first day of events. So we have both true crime events and fiction events. And there's going to be a wine and crime that I believe the tickets sold out within like 15 minutes when they went online a few weeks ago. So that might be shut out for people. But there's other events that they can attend for sure. You can start at the East Hampton Library. Many of the events are free. So, you know, come down and check it out if you're out there. Unfortunately, it's a rainy day today and maybe tomorrow, but it might be a good time because everything's pretty much indoors and it's walkable, and you're walking around the East Hampton Village.
Nothing wrong with walking around East Hampton, I'll tell you that much. And, of course, get to the Sarge. He's a wonderful guy, very accessible, and say hi to him. So, Joe, also I would think you're a big hit with the book. As far as everything going on, the Cold Case Handbook, and, of course, you know, the show. A lot of people know about Joe's show there on YouTube regarding Gilgo. And I'm sure you're going to be the center point of those things, too.
Yeah, no, we're doing, I'm going to be doing a panel with Gus Garcia Roberts, who wrote Jimmy the King.
Nice.
So he's here. We're going to be talking about that. Of course, it's going to be talking about everything Suffolk, Burke, Spoda, and you know, Long Island serial killer stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. So get out there. Joe, once again, where is it?
It's in East Hampton Village, and you can't miss it. There are signs everywhere once you get to the village. Everything's beautiful. Within walking distance. Yeah,
awesome.
East, the library is a main focus of many of the events.
Awesome. Get out there this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Jacklin, the Crime Report, Crime Stoppers. Joe, enjoy, feel better, and we'll talk to you during the week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jake.